Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in Washington, D.C. at our event called Washington Watch, where the American Feed Industry Association is here for the first time. So we got to get Leah Wilkinson on the radio. Hello, Leah.
Hello. Thanks for being here.
You bet. You're a southern Minnesota lady.
I did. I'm born and raised in Fairmont, Minnesota. My family raised hogs there.
How'd you get involved with the American Feed Industry Association?
Well, after college, I went out to Washington, D.C. and kind of caught the policy bug because I could take my animal science, my production background, and tie it into the public policy world and try to make a difference for the livestock and poultry industry.
Very good. And much of what farmers raise is either exported, but a lot of that goes into animal feed, and a lot of what we grow here is value added by animal feed. So what is the value? Can you quantify the value of a crop grown for animal feed?
Yes, so that's one of our biggest challenges, right? Everybody sees the feed mill down the road. They don't really, they know we make livestock feed or poultry. Or pet food. We also have pet food manufacturers. But what was our economic contribution? How many jobs are we providing in that congressional district, in that state? How much feed are we manufacturing? So we did a study this last year to help us be able to quantify that. So when we walk into congressional offices, we can say, here's who we are, here's what we represent in the industry. So got some numbers. So across the whole United States, we have in total sales just under $300 billion of livestock feed and pet food that's sold in the United States.
That's a lot, and that's not all dog food.
That's not all dog food, no. We feed a lot of livestock and poultry and aquaculture as well. So a total for that, we do 236 million tons a year of just livestock, poultry, and aquaculture feed.
So. And a lot of soybeans, but what all crops are involved in that $300 billion?
Yeah, so our top ingredients that we use, obviously corn is number one. That makes up about 50% of our ingredients. Soybean meal would be the next one. That one we use about 30 million tons a year. And when then you get into some of the byproducts from corn, distillers dried grains is then our number three ingredient. So just those three ingredients alone make up about 70% of the total ingredients that we use.
So this adds money to the bottom line of farmers.
It does. We're another buyer for those products. And, you know, obviously export markets are important to you, but we will then take those products and we can export it as well. We also feed the livestock and poultry in the United States, and those products are then exported.
What is there any area of the feed industry that is growing?
Well, exports is one of those, but we do, as our livestock and poultry producers grow more animals, we're obviously making more feed to feed them. The pet food industry is one that is growing so that we can feed all of those pets that you have in your home and all of your listeners do as well.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's got a dog lately that didn't have one a couple of years ago.
Yes, yes, that just continues to grow.
And you mentioned exports. So how important is trade pacts and tariffs? How does that affect the feed industry and exports?
Yeah, so NAFTA, just in and of itself, so for pet food, Canada and Mexico are number one and number two export markets. So 50% of our pet food that is exported goes to those two countries. In total, in animal food, it's $3 billion worth of sales that go to those two countries for either our feed or ingredients that we manufacture here in the United States. So it's very important to us.
Yeah. And are there more manufacturers? You know, Purina, we have a lot of industry leaders out there, but are there a lot of small feed manufacturers?
We do. So in total, we've got 5,715 animal feed manufacturers across the United States and another 517 pet food facilities. So there's everything from really large to very small manufacturers.
And they are not all Purina and Hubbard. There are a lot of mom and pop operations too.
A lot of mom and pops, a lot of co-ops that are out there as well.
And again, how does trade affect them also?
They do, and whether they're not exporting themselves, you know, there may be other companies that are, so then that gives them opportunities to sell to the domestic producers.
So I heard the headlines of the tariffs on, ethanol, sorghum, soybeans, and all that. Haven't heard anything on pet food yet, but I'm sure you are affected by this tariff talk. How is it affecting the feed industry?
Yeah, so far, feed or pet food hasn't been identified for any additional tariffs from China specifically. But we are working actually to expand our market access into China. And so we've been going on for that for a couple of years for our feed ingredients that go over there. They call it the feed additives category. And so we've been working with that and trying to get them over here to audit our facilities. And so we continue to have those discussions. They've been continuing to talk through us through all of this little trade tension. And so we continue to work and try to get them here so we can expand that market, because they need our high quality ingredients, and we would like to send it to them.
Yeah, the importance of maintaining open lines of communication.
Exactly.
What other issues are keeping you busy here in D.C.?
Well, so we're always trying to improve our regulatory situation. Feed is regulated on a state basis as well as a federal basis. So we've got to deal with all 50 states and on a federal basis. And we're trying to improve the ingredient approval processes so that they can be faster, so we can bring better new technologies to market for livestock and poultry and the pet food industry. Right now, for every year of delay, it costs our companies $1.7 million of lost revenue. So trying to speed that up by still keeping a quality review process at the Food and Drug Administration. Also have the Food Safety Modernization Act regulations that have gone into place. A lot of people only hear about them from a human food or a produce aspect, but feed is also a food. So we are caught up in those regulations as well. And so we've been working hard to make sure that they are regulations that we can implement that don't add added cost upon the industry.
And, so you got state and federal, FDA, USDA, you are under the microscope of everybody.
Huh? Then you've got EPA, OSHA, Department of Transportation, all of those as well.
Yeah. Yes. I think a lot of farmers are not touched. They think they're not touched by this Food Safety Modernization Act, but is it inhibiting sales in any way?
So a lot of what the regulations are things that our companies were already doing. It's now just telling the story. And so we've been trying to, throughout, as FDA was writing the regulations, to make sure that they are practical, right? So that they are things that don't go above and beyond, because feed is a lot different from human food, right? So we are, sometimes throwing feed on the ground, so we don't necessarily need to make a sterile product. So it's just helping our members talk and tell their story better for how they have been already producing safe, high-quality product.
The chickens want scratch feed. They're happier with it.
Yes.
For sure. All right. Very good. Leah Wilkinson of the American Feed Industry Association. Thanks for the work you do. I think it's an area of agriculture that needs a little higher profile, so thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for coming to Washington, D.C. to help learn about it.
All right. You're very welcome.
And now you and I know a little bit more about the American Feed Industry Association.